You may be seated. Apostle gave us the word, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. So, our objective as a church, as individuals, is to, in every situation, allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Now, what's so wonderful about that? What's so wonderful is that the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 11th verse, it says, no man knows what that man is thinking, but the Spirit that is within him. Yes. And they said, the Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking, because he's the very Spirit of God. And so essentially, when you let the Holy Spirit have his way, you're letting God have his way. When you let the Holy Spirit have his way, you have access to the thoughts of God. Mm-hmm. Thursday night at prayer, I was praying and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That was for me. Spoke to me. But I thought it'd be good to share with you what he said to me. Yes. It was four statements that literally empowered me. And I hope it empowers you. He said, I have given you time. I have given you a voice. I have given you my word. Now you have to choose what to do with it. I've given you time. I've given you a voice. I've given you my word. Now, when you write, if you're writing it down, when you get to that point, you say, I've given you my word. I got to give it to you exactly how he gave it to me. So it'll have the same effect. I want you to capitalize the M in my. My word, meaning God has given us his word. Yes. Now you have to choose what to do with it. God has given you time. What are you doing with that time? God has given you a voice. Yes. What are you doing with that voice? God has given you his word. What are you doing with his word? It's up to you. Turn to Genesis, the second chapter. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As we make this transition from the pastoral model of the church to the apostolic model of the church, a shift is being made in each one of us. God has always intended us and planned for us to be in the Garden of Eden. Now, I don't want you to think about a geographical location. I want you to think about position.
That's good.
Garden of Eden was more of a place of position than a place of geography. Genesis, the second chapter, the 16th verse. And the Lord God commanded the man. And the Lord God did what?
Commanded.
Who?
Commanded.
Now, I need you to know something here. I need you to see something. I need you to recognize this. I need you to embrace this. There was no intermediary. And the Lord God commanded. And then he didn't say the Lord. The Bible didn't say the Lord God commanded a man. It said the Lord God commanded the man, meaning specific. He was talking to Adam. And there was no intermediary. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this, all right? There was no intermediary, all right? Watch this. Go with me to Genesis, the third chapter. Look at the 8th verse. And they, meaning Adam and Eve, heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Notice again, there is no intermediary. Adam and Eve, the Bible said they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the wilderness. I get two things from that. Number one, that God was looking to spend time with them. God was longing to spend time with them. Now notice something. Standing on the foundation of Galatians 3:13, I want you to realize, and I'm going to go to Galatians 3:13 in a minute. I want you to realize that there was no apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. The very thing that separated them from the voice and the presence of God was their disobedience. So in Galatians 3:13, turn there. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That word redeemed, to be put back in a formal position. So, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection put us back in a certain position. What position did he put us back in? A position of being able to be in the presence of God. I'm talking about you. In the presence of God without needing anybody else. Now, Jesus, the same person who died on the cross for our sins, gave us gifts. See, the reason why it sounds like I'm going over a message I taught already, because I am. And the reason why is because Christmas morning, some people thought I was going to be talking about the manger. That's what they were looking for. And missing the shift that has happened in this church. And miss the shift that is happening in your life. The same Jesus that died and redeemed us from the curse of the law then gave us gifts in Ephesians 4. Yes, sir. That's where the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher come into play. Yes. To help us understand and reclaim our ability, not the right. Catch the difference. You've always had the right to be in the presence of God. Sin separated us. Jesus put us back in that position. So we always have the right, but some of us don't have the ability. So therefore, he gave gifts unto men to teach us that ability. So that you can be in the presence of God on your own. See, I need to eliminate, I want to destroy this pastoral model. This pastoral model had us focusing on the fivefold as if they have the answers for us. But they are there to teach us how to discover the answers for ourselves. Because remember, Adam was talking to God. God told Adam what to do.
Yes, sir.
Adam was able to recognize God's voice. So if I have been redeemed from the curse of the law and put back in a fallen position, then I shouldn't have to wait on another man to hear the voice of God. Because if Adam, if the second Adam corrected the errors of the first Adam and put me like I'm the first Adam, then the first Adam was talking to God and hearing God for himself. So that means I should have the right to hear for myself. And guess what? Oh, I love this. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with your Bible knowledge. Because Adam ain't have no Bible knowledge and was hearing the voice of God. So watch this. It should be easier for us because we have a pattern to follow. It is the goal of this church to make you the home, to make you a covenant winner. That means covenant winner simply means that you're going to be able to, you can hear God. You can walk with God. You can move with God right along with apostle.
Yes, sir.
But that can't happen unless you think you can. Unless you think you can do it. And it's the enemy's job to get you to think that you can't. It's the enemy's job to get you to think that you can't operate like apostle. And you can. You have the right.
Yeah.
You watch this now. Listen at me. You may not have the ability, but if you hang around long enough, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, meaning eventually. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I found the statement, Holy Spirit, have your way, but I found it in another form. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about spiritual gifts, or supernatural gifts. There are 9 of them. But in verse 11, I found the statement, Holy Spirit, have your way, in another form. It says in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to, I need you to say it, to every man severally as he wills. So what if I let the Holy Spirit have his way? We have to get to a point. We have to get to an understanding that the purpose of the fivefold is to make us efficient in the supernatural. The purpose of the fivefold is to get us to be to reach the fullness of Christ. Not be bound by limitations in this earth.
Amen.
Not to be bound by our genealogy.
Come on.
Exactly.
Not to be bound about where we came from. Yes. Not to be bound by anything that's natural.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All 9 of these gifts can operate in you. Now, I grew up learning under the pastoral model until Apostle made this shift. So I learned about these gifts from a pastoral model. What I mean by that, I learned about these gifts from a place of you might not be able to operate in them because you might not be spiritual enough. So by the sound bite of what you just said, I'm not the only one thought like that. But we read here in 12 verse 1. Look at the first verse in the 12th chapter, same chapter. He said, the Apostle Paul writes and said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you. I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you not knowing.
Yes, sir.
I would not have you not understanding. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same.
Spirit.
Who?
Spirit.
Same Spirit. What if I let the Holy Spirit have his way? All right, come on. Verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, different ways they operate. But it's the same God which worketh. That statement there, which worketh all in all.
Yes, I see. Yes, sir.
Yes.
What was the Apostle Paul meaning? That all the gifts can work in all people.
Yes.
So this is why I need you to understand that when Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, he was putting us back in a position that God had already planned for us to be in.
Yes, sir.
Being able to access everything that the Word of God makes available to us.
Yes.
Remember now, I've given you time.
Yes, sir.
I've given you a voice.
Yes.
I've given you my word.
Yes, sir.
Now it's up to you, your choice, what you're going to do with it.
Yes.
See, what's happened now, the responsibility for your life is now shifting. See, the pastoral model, the responsibility of your life was up here. But in the apostolic model, the responsibility is shifting on you.
Yes, sir.
Which empowers you.
Right.
So you don't have to face challenges hopeless.
That's right, sir. That's right.
You don't have to face challenges always needing somebody else. You don't have to face life thinking that you're going to have to get somebody else to pray for you. Because last I checked, Adam and Eve had nobody else to pray for them. Now, don't get me wrong. It's wonderful if you got somebody you can trust can pray for you. But it's just in case you don't. Jesus said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He didn't say three people. He didn't say three humans. Because last I checked, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So there is nothing that you cannot face and overcome. And it's the fivefold ministry's job to train you to do so. You may be seated. Now I'm going to endeavor throughout this year as apostle gives me opportunities. I want to go through these gifts. Because the pastoral model, now don't get me wrong, God moved through the pastoral model. He moved through the pastoral model. But he wasn't free to move like he wants to move.
Right.
Oh, you know what the pastoral model is akin to? The pastoral model is akin to the monarchy. Now, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, is the children of Israel kept asking for a king because they saw everybody else with a king. And so God said, okay, they're asking for a king, I'm going to give them a king. But that didn't stop God from moving through that system.
Right.
It wasn't his best. He did the best he could moving through that system because God told him what king to choose.
Yeah.
When the first king started tripping, God say, I rejected him. Saul, go anoint David. And God, watch this. God let that system roll until it played out. Let me tell you something. The pastoral model of the church is playing out. And the reason why it is playing out is because there is some darkness in this world that the pastoral model is not equipped to handle. That monarchy system that they wanted in the Old Testament, it ran into a wall that it couldn't handle and disintegrated. Why? Why? The same reason the pastoral model is going to disintegrate.
That's right.
Is the same reason a monarchy system disintegrated. It's because it blocked people from going back to God's original plan, which is you can hear from God, you can communicate with God, you can move on God's behalf.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Look at verse 9. Now I probably won't cover them in order, in biblical order, because that ain't how God, it's just not how he talked to me. I mean, I was praying this week, didn't know I was going to be doing this Sunday. He was talking to me earlier in the week, and he started talking to me about the gift of faith, or special faith, and begin to give me insight and understanding about that gift. Because, look, it's important for you to see, first of all, when I said that, some of y'all thought y'all can't operate in it. Some of you said, I don't even know what it is. I thought I had faith. Yes, you do have faith. But there are certain times when you let the Holy Spirit have his way.
Yes, sir.
There are certain times where he will charge your faith.
That's good.
To cause you to do something that you wouldn't do under normal circumstances. I'm not talking about the fivefold faith being charged. I'm talking about your faith. And if you, the first verse says, how I would not have you ignorant or unaware that this is available to you. He said, to another faith by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same, let me say it this way, Holy Spirit.
Yes,
so if you mean to tell me if I let the Holy Spirit have his way, this is available to me.
Yes.
Special faith. It's based on your right to hear from God and developed ability to hear from God. Special faith is based on your right to hear from God and your developed ability. Notice I said the word developed ability. Because in Genesis, in the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, it says that they heard the voice of God. And then God came and asked him, Adam, where are you?
Right.
That means that Adam and God had been spending time together.
Right.
Consistently. And so God came looking for Adam this time, and Adam hid himself.
Yes.
So that means there was a development going on. There was a development between God and Adam. Watch this. With no intermediary. I've given you time. I've given you a voice.
Yes, sir.
I've given you my word. What you gonna do with it?
Come on.
Your spiritual death is not hinged on apostle. Your ability to operate in all 9 of these gifts is not based on apostle. See, let me destroy this pastoral model thought process. Those 9 gifts are not confined to this church wall, to these church walls.
That's right. That's right.
They can function here.
Yes. Yes.
But this ain't the only place they function. I'm not always in these 4 walls. You're not always in these 4 walls. You're not always in front of that screen, those of you watching online. You're moving about. And the Bible says he will dispense the gifts as he wills. It didn't say he was going to do it while you was here in church. And he said he'd to all men. Let me show you something. Let me destroy this pastoral model thought process. Look at verse, and I'm going to come back to my definitions. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. So that means if I let the Spirit have his way, there ought to be some manifestations. If I allow the Holy Spirit to have it, let me say it like this. If I allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in my life, there ought to be some manifestations of these gifts in my life. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Now watch this. That last word breaks the back of the pastoral model. Is given to every man to profit with all, or to profit with everyone. So the first thing you're going to have to do if you want these gifts to operate in your life, if you want, and we specifically talking about special faith this morning, you want these gifts to operate in your life, you're going to have to get out of thinking these gifts is just there to solve your problems. Oh, I needed to say that because special faith is not about the spectacular. Special faith is not about doing the spectacular. It's about obeying the spectacular. What I mean by that, it's not about your special faith don't focus on the outcome. See, the reason why it seems like special faith focuses on the outcome or the spectacular is because we read instances or we hear testimonies of the results of somebody walking in special faith. But special faith is not focused on the outcome. Special faith is focused on God's voice. Special faith is focusing on accomplishing what God wants. Special faith or the gift of faith coincides with moments in time. So you're not going to always operate in this, but there's going to come a time in your life and a moment of time in your life where you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to give you special faith to accomplish what God has called you to do. All right. The gift of faith or special faith is when you hear God's voice and do it without needing backup or confirmation or affirmation from man. Special faith, I'm gonna read it again. Special faith, the gift of faith or special faith is when you hear God's voice and do it without needing backup or confirmation or affirmation from man. See, special faith, once again, special faith is not about the size of the task. Because each one of us are on different levels. So because we're on different levels, sometimes the Holy Spirit gonna have to come charge our faith to get us to the next level. So it's not about the size of the task. It's about you having that supernatural courage to do what God has told you to do when nobody else thinks you ought to do it. The having the Holy Spirit charge your courage to accomplish something when everybody else said, no, I wouldn't do that if I was you. But because of your developed ability to hear from God, you do it anyway. And because of that, that's what produced the spectacular outcome. See, special faith is not focused on the outcome. It's focused on accomplishing what God wants. Let me give you an example of special faith. Apostle talks about it all the time. And you may be seated. Apostle talks about it all the time. Special faith. Because I need to set the scenario. Because special faith, God uses special faith. Because remember now, it's for to profit with all. So when you operate in special faith, God is not charging your faith to do what he called you to do just for you. Yeah. It's because something that he's called you to do is going to affect some other people's lives around you. Because it's for every man to profit with all. So that's why you have to get out of the pastoral model of thinking about these gifts, about they only there to affect my life, or they only there to get me out of my jam, or they only there to help me in my need. No, they are there to profit with all. This is why the apostle is pushing us to mature. Because the world is dying. And the world needs to be in contact with people that know how to access the power of God. So apostle, let me say this, apostle always tell this story. He tells this story of his life. And because of he teaching, he gives the story, but he doesn't give the nuances of it.
Come on.
The details, the different things that makes it significant,
yeah.
That makes it spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, apostle, the Lord told him quit his job.
Come on now.
Now, when the Lord told him quit his job, he was operating in special faith. He was operating in special faith because nobody thought he should do it. Matter of fact, he didn't tell nobody. Because he knew. Listen at me. But because he had developed his ability to hear from God, when God told him to do that crazy thing. Three kids. I don't know if Montreal was born yet. Two kids or three kids. It didn't matter. It was kids. You got mouths to feed. In debt. Out of church, 35 people, still paying dues. Some of y'all don't know what that is. I ain't talking about tithing, I'm talking about dues. Am I right, Gwen? And here it is, God told him to quit his job. That was God charging his faith to do something. Watch this now. To do something that nobody else thought he should do, and it profit with all. Meaning all of us are here now because he did that. All of our lives have been shifted to another level because he did. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is, in order for you to operate these gifts, you're going to have to get out yourself. All I want to do is do what God is asking me to do. I don't care how nobody else feels about it. I don't care what nobody else thinks about it. I don't care what they say about me. All I want to do is what God is asking me to do. You may be seated. Special faith is being able to accomplish a task given by God despite all opposition. The ability to complete a task given to you by God despite all opposition. Now, see, there are moments. Now, every one of us. Maybe we have, maybe, I'm telling you, some of y'all probably did it and didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Right.
Walked in and didn't know what it was. But I expect every one of us to have access to this gift of faith, or special faith. God would not put us in a position that he called us to do and then leave you struggling with your own vices. There are some things that you have to accomplish in your life that God needs you to accomplish to help fulfill his agenda. See, remember now, I'm not talking about the size of the task. I'm not talking about the size of the task. It may not be you having to quit your job. But it may be something else God has told you to do that ain't nobody else believe you're supposed to be doing. Because you're not focused on the outcome. You focus on obeying his voice. Do you realize that apostle has positioned us, let me say it like this, has set us up for these gifts to operate in our lives? How did he set us up? He set us up because he commissioned us to evangelize. When he commissioned us to evangelize, it took the focus off of your life and put it on the lives of others. And when you put your focus on the lives of others, in other words, let the Holy Spirit have his way. That's when these gifts can kick in. That's when special faith can kick in. That's when the Holy Spirit can charge your faith to do the extraordinary. To follow God's instructions. To hear his voice. Remember now, I've given you time.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing with it? Are you developing your ability to hear from God? I've given you a voice. You can talk to him. He's given us his word. That means you can communicate with God on his level. See, when the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, he was not talking to us. He was talking to anybody who didn't want to let the Holy Spirit have his way. Why would God say, I know the thoughts I think towards you? And you thinking that his thoughts are not your thoughts. Why would he say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, and then come back and tell you, oh, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and you can't access them? I've given you time.
Yes, sir.
I've given you a voice.
Yes.
I've given you my word. What you gonna do? You can't say we ain't getting the word. Just the other day, Apostle spoke to us as a brand new day.
Yes.
That was from the mouth of God.
Yes.
So we getting the word. God has given you time. God has given you a voice. Are you developing? Are you developing? See, special faith is just amplified what you already have.
Yes, sir.
You already have faith.
Yes.
He gave to every man the
yes.
of faith.
Yes.
This is unfair
yes.
that he gave us faith, yes. then come back and say, I will charge your faith.
Right.
Yes. I will add extra gut to your faith. To get you to do what I'm asking you to do. You don't know why you're doing it. All you know is, I heard the voice of God. I know I can hear the voice of God. And I'm doing it. I ain't thinking about the outcome. Because if God told me to do it. How many see what I'm saying? Jesus died on the cross to put us back in this position. Jesus gave us the fivefold to train us so we could develop our abilities to operate in these gifts. Yes, you can operate in special faith. Yes, you can operate in this gift of faith. Yes, you. Yes, you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you.
Yes.
You can. The apostolic is here to mature us into our full stature. Go with me to Ephesians 4. I'm almost finished. Ephesians 4, then we come back. Two more scriptures I want to read because I want to show you, sometimes the best way to define something is to show you what it's not. So you can realize what it is. Yes, Ephesians 4. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, which means everything Christ can do. Everything Christ can do. Didn't he say greater works? Huh? So the fivefold is not here to solve our problems. The fivefold is here to train you.
Yes.
That's a shift. I've grown up in the pastoral model. And it's always, I got to get pastor to pray for me. I got to get pastor to come to the hospital, lay hands on me. I got to get pastor to do this. I got to get pastor to do that. And I the whole while Satan's sitting there and got our hands bound. But then come along an apostle and say, you can do this for yourself. You can operate in special faith. You can operate in the gifts of healing. You can operate in the working of miracles. You can operate in speaking in different tongues and interpretation. Do you know that particular gift? Speaking in divers kind of tongues interpretation? That's the one supposed to be working in your life the most. Why do you think you pray in the Holy Spirit? You pray in the Holy Spirit. What good is it that you pray in the Holy Spirit and never figure out what you're saying? What's the purpose? How are you supposed to build yourself up on your most holy assignment by praying in other tongues and you never figure out what you're saying? You got to go up. You pray in the Holy Spirit, God ought to be, you ought to be able to interpret what you're praying. God ought to be able to speak to you and tell you this is what you was praying. It happens to me all the time. I pray in the Holy Spirit, I'm going through all my day, then God speaks to me and say, do this. Or this your answer you're looking for. What sense does it make for you to pray in the Holy Spirit all that time and you never realize what you're praying? So yes, the gift's supposed to work in you.
Yes, sir.
You may be seated. Go with me to Matthew's. The 14th chapter. Well, did I write that? Yeah, I think I did write that down. Right, 14. Yes. Matthew's 14 chapter Matthew's. This is what special faith is not. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out in fear. You see that? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, for it is I, be not afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee into the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. That's not special faith. Oh, no, I shook you just now. That's not special faith. Why? Because faith don't move out of fear. Jesus had already given them instructions. What the instructions were? Get in the ship and go to the other side. So when trouble came into their midst, they got afraid. Jesus calmly walking on the water towards them, they saw him and get afraid. Jesus said, "Now don't be afraid, it's me." Peter, with his doubting self, still in fear, "Jesus, if it's you." Here's why I can tell you that ain't special faith. That, listen, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you. I know this passage has been preached. You know, you got to get out on the water. But the ending wasn't that good. The ending wasn't that good. See, the reason why Peter was able to walk on water, because he jammed Jesus. He said, "If it be you, bid me to come." Jesus couldn't deny himself. So he said, "Peter, come on." But the problem is, when Peter got out of that boat in the water, the circumstances were still there that he wasn't prepared for. So he began, and Jesus had to. Now watch this. When Jesus lifted him up, where did he put him? Jesus said, "Get back in the boat." "All right, y'all ain't got no faith. I'm gonna get in the boat with you." Read it. He got in the boat with him, and he went to the other side. I want to show you that, because that is not special faith. I don't care if Peter walked on water, he starts sinking. Because when you operate in special faith, which means you move when God tell you to move, even when nobody else believes it, nobody else wants to do it, nobody else agrees with you, the outcome is always going to be you going to be on top. So this is not an example of special faith. Because not about the, well, again, it's not about the spectacular.
That's right.
See, we read this story. See, we read this story from pastoral model. We read this story and we get, man, that was powerful. That was powerful. The man began to sink. Jesus had to pick him up out the water and put him back originally where he had told him to be in the first place. Be seated real quick. Got to go to Mark 10. Mark 10. See, it's not about the size of the instructions. It's about where you are. What level you on. You could be on level A and special faith can work. Because it might take special faith to get you to level B. Because you on level A, you hadn't been around him that long. So God need to give you some extra See, special faith is not to spectacular events. Special faith, God gave you the ability to walk in special faith because of where you are. That sometimes God got to push you. If he don't push you, some things ain't gonna happen. You got to be willing to be pushed. Mark the 10th chapter. 17th verse. This is an opportunity missed of special faith. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do to that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, remember I told you, special faith is connected to moments in time. Amen. Where God gives you instructions, he needs you to do them, and he'll give you extra confidence to do it so that the outcome can help him accomplish his agenda. And Jesus said unto him, why, verse 18, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, how I know that was a missed opportunity of a special faith? Because number one, Jesus, let me give you the nuances. Jesus, during the time Jesus walked the earth, there was over 200 different people that was calling themselves the Messiah. So you ran to this man and he tells you what to do to inherit eternal life. He tells you what to do and you shook. Look, then if you read further down, you'll see what the disciples, Jesus say how hard it is for a rich man to enter to the kingdom of God. They ain't talking about heaven. They talking about how hard it is for a rich man to enter into God's ways of doing things. Because they've already been set in the natural, so it's hard for them to make adjustments. That's what Jesus was talking about. Because Peter said, well then who can go? Peter was saying, hey, we got money. What you mean we ain't going to heaven? So what's my point? That it wasn't very popular to do what Jesus was asking him to do. It wasn't a popular thing to do. Nobody, very few people were doing it. I don't know if he had the 12 by then. He might have had the 12 by then, but it was very few. If it was just 12, it was 12 out of hundreds of thousands of people that could have done it, but it was just 12 that was doing the exact same thing he was telling this man to do. But he went away grieved because he had great possessions. That was a missed opportunity. A moment in time where God is asking you to do something that nobody else agrees with. If you're not open to it, that time will be missed.
I see.
And guess what? When that time is missed, God going to somebody else.
Come on. Yes, sir.
In this church, I don't want it to be somebody else. I want it to be you.
Yes.
Online, I want it to be you.
Yes, sir.
No moment. When you let the Holy Spirit have his way, when you allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, there will be no more missed opportunities.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, when you let the Holy Spirit have his way, there will be no more missed opportunities. You'll hit it every time, straight on the mark, letting the Holy Spirit have his way.
Right.
Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. And at any given moment, any nine gifts can operate in your life. You don't have to understand all the gifts. We're going to get to them so you can learn about them. But you don't have to understand all the gifts. Just be open. Just be open. Just be open to the Holy Spirit. He know the gifts. He knows them. And guess what? He knows when to use them. But you got to be open to him. You got to not only be open to him, but you got to be open to him to be used so that God can accomplish his agenda. Not yours. I want to tell you. You can operate in special faith. You can operate in this gift of faith. I ain't asked you how much you know about the Bible. I didn't ask you none of that. I didn't ask you none of that. You can operate in this gift. I've given you time. I've given you a voice. I've given you my word. What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with it? It's no longer up to Apostle. It's not up to him. He know what he doing. And he's teaching us what to do. So what are you gonna do with it?